Today's reading is in the context of the liturgical year. We've gone through the Christmas season, last week the baptism of Jesus. Now he starts his ministry. And although we know the stories very well, sometimes listening to them again, something is sparked, and maybe God says something to each one of us. And hopefully I can offer you a thought that will assist you somehow in your living every day. This from chapter 4 of Matthew. Now when Jesus heard that John the Baptist had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee and Capernaum. He left Nazareth and made his way by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, two cities that were owned, occupied by Gentiles, not the Jews, also from which the people of Israel had suffered for many years in the darkness of the exile period, and in which the prophet had said, "Those who walk in darkness have seen a great light." And so it's appropriate for Jesus to go there and start his ministry. For Jesus heard that John was in prison, and saw that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah had now been fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region of shadow, light has dawned. And from that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Jesus called some disciples and went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. And so his fame spread throughout all Syria. And they brought to him all the sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, and paralytics, and he cured them. And a great crowd followed him from Galilee to the Greek country, to Jerusalem, to Judea, and from countries beyond the Jordan. And this is the gospel of the Lord. It's getting late in the day, and I don't want to drag this out. But I do want to say something that I think is very important to be said. The reading we just heard is really an invitation. It's the beginning of a ministry that indeed changed the lives of many people. When we hear the word repent, most times we hear some kind of a command, like change your life, do something, and if you don't, something bad's going to happen. At least that's how I always heard it. But indeed, it's not a command as much as an invitation. Just as today, we have invited Carter into a way of life that sometimes is easy, many times is difficult, sometimes needs a lot of support, other times we're pretty comfortable on our own. But it's a life that has ups, downs, forwards and backwards, joys, pains, struggles, delights, and a lot of blessings. We've all been there. One of the things that Jesus said very clearly, and this covers everything, it covers every country, every political system, every religion, it covers the whole ball of wax if we're talking about being people. People. We are people, we are not things. Everybody else is people as well, not things. And he said very simply, everything that you want out of life, anything that's worthwhile, anything that has any value beyond this life, is summarized in two things. Love one another and love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. We have no problem, I don't think, loving the people who love us back. That's easy. That's a really good thing. In fact, there's nothing any one of us wants in the whole world. I think I said this at your wedding. What we are all looking for is somebody to love us for who we are. That's all we want. It's a deep-down passion born deep within us that most times gets ignored because we're too busy living lives doing other things. But underneath, there's a constant hunger for somebody to love me as I am. And when push comes to shove, when things get really dark, that's the place we go. And that's where all the darkness in our lives will always stem from. Because unless we have somebody in our lives who loves us as we are, we have no peace. We have no promise. There's nothing worth living for except the external stuff for which we can accomplish and achieve and grow wealthy and all the stuff that is very, very important in the world in which we live. But true peace, true happiness, without it, we can't have it. All of us have been called friend by somebody. All of us recognize that there are people around us who have befriended us because they obviously like us. Have you ever been someone's enemy? Sometimes we don't know that somebody considers us an enemy. But the world in which we live has divided us into one of two groups: friends and enemies. And so much of what is happening in the world today, right now, proves that it is true. We have friends and the rest are enemies. Comes down to everyday life. For example, today, there are two football games. And my friends on Facebook are divided between friends and enemies because they're each praying to the same God, asking for their own team to win, and may lose faith when their team loses. Right? Poor Giants, I know. But that's just a simple thing, and we get over that because that's no big deal. But how many people have we considered in our lives to be our enemies because they think differently than we do? They have a different way of life than we do. They have a different philosophy, or a different religion, or a different practice, or different eating habits. I know a friend of mine who's a vegetarian can't stand people who eat meat. Terrible way to live. How many divisions do we ourselves have? I spent this last week, particularly with all the stuff that's going on, looking at myself and trying to figure out, in truth, how really free am I as a loving Christian from all the definitions that have been thrown at me and all the things I've subscribed to without even realizing it, mostly because of ignorance. If I don't know somebody, if someone is a stranger, think about this. When you meet a stranger, aren't you immediately on guard? If you're in a large crowd and somebody's breathing down your neck because they're in line with you, and you think perhaps that they belong to another religion because of their garb, are you comfortable? My grandson came home from Europe after a semester in Belgium, and he has a real thick beard. He's 20 years old, handsome kid. And when he has the beard, he's got a very small face because it just covers his whole face, and it's black, even though his hair is not. We told him, when you get on the plane, shave, because somebody is going to think you're a terrorist. Why? Because he's a bad kid? No, because he looks like someone that we should suspect. There are no easy answers to what's going on. There are no easy solutions. But there is one thing that touches every one of us. And I say it today because we just agreed that we would create an atmosphere for Carter where he would grow up
celebrating who he is, having the compassion to let everybody else in the world celebrate who they are, and himself create a world of acceptance and welcome by the way he lives. That's what Jesus taught. How ready are you and I put myself here, how willing am I to work to get rid of the stigma attached to the word different? How willing am I to understand that ignorance of someone else's circumstance allows me a great freedom to dominate their life by projecting something on them that they may not be, but making that judgment gives me comfort, gives me some peace, makes me feel better, more secure. In this room right now, there are probably 75 different understandings of God. Which one of them is right? There are probably 75, 80 different versions of what's important in life. Which one's the right one? We all behave differently. We all have uniqueness. And we struggle to let that uniqueness show, always careful that it just might offend somebody. What if nobody was offended by anybody's difference? That's the radical teaching, radical meaning root. That's the bottom line of what Jesus had to reveal to us about God. Others have revealed many things about God. There are lots of other leaders, lots of other prophets, lots of other good things that are in the name of God. But as a person who believes that Jesus somehow made something very special in my life, that's the bottom line. If I believe in God and follow the way of Jesus and choose that way of life, it comes down to learning, how do I love God and myself for who I am? And how do I love my enemy? I pray for us, and I pray for Carter, that the world he is coming into can find a way to change, to make it different. I don't think it's going to happen from on high or above us. It's going to happen within each one of us. Hopefully that's what we teach him. It's just a thought. May God bless us all, and God be with Carter all of his life. Amen.